Hallelujah. Didn't expect to be speaking today, but just want to share a few thoughts around the subject of light. This time of year, have you noticed it's dark? Particularly those that work during the day, that you get up in the dark, you go to work in the dark, and you come home in the dark, so it's just dark all the time. When you're at work, you're inside probably, so you don't see the light anyway. And it can be quite a difficult time. I just want to ask the children, do you like the dark or the light best? Which do you like best? Hands up if you like the dark best. Oh, there's one. Likes the dark best. Who likes the light best? Yes. I'll put my hand up there. I like the light best. I love the light. And when it's warm as well, it's even better. But you know, there's something special about the light. Because light is needed for life. If you think about what gives life, I know God gives life, but it's the light that gives life. If you look back right at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, right at the beginning, and it talks about the earth being formless and void, what's the first thing that God speaks into existence? Just read it. Right at the beginning, chapter 1 in Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, it says, and the earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God knew that he couldn't do anything until he spoke light into existence. If we go then into the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 8, verse 12. This is Jesus now saying, he says, Jesus spoke to them and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is wanting us to have light. Now, naturally, at this time of the year, it's very difficult for us to get a lot of light. I say quite often we're indoors. Most of that, the cold weather tends to keep us inside. And the fact that it's dark so much of the time. I mean, it's starting to get dark now. Don't look at that clock. It's 20 to 4, right? In the afternoon. If it was June or July time, it would be the middle of the day to us, middle of the afternoon, with hours and hours and hours of hopefully warm sunshine still to come in the day. Now, we've got it in our minds now, oh, it's nearly the end of the day now, it's getting dark. But there's still hours to go. But we're not getting the natural light that we want and that we need. So we do tend to struggle at this time of the year. And often people have particular difficulty because of that. Particularly in the northern latitudes, you get up to, I don't know, Sweden and Norway and Finland and that Greenland. Dark for months in a year. No light at all. And they really do struggle with that, getting no natural light, because we need light. And God knows that we need light. But we need more than the natural light. And God relates so much of what he says and what he does to light. Because he is light and he wants us to be in, bathing in that light. And it's good that in the midst of the darkest part of our year, God's saying and reminding us that he wants us to have his light, to be in his light. Even in the middle of this time of year. Now the historians will tell you, well, we have these feasts at this time of year because it's the shortest day and one thing and another. But you see, if you're in Australia, you won't have this problem. But the thing is that we need reminding when we're in the middle of the darkness, of the natural darkness, and even the darkness of our circumstances sometimes, we need reminding that God is that light, and he's got that light for us, and he wants us to enjoy that light that he's shining. If we look in Matthew chapter 5, we looked in John and it says that he is the light of the world. But if you look in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, he also tells it another way as well. Verse 14, it says that you are the light of the world. You and me are the light of the world. So whatever light that God's shining is to us, we've got the ability to shine that out to others as well. Oh dear, somebody's upset. Somebody's been told that Father Christmas is not coming. There he is. The world often, we're here now, we've got a certain amount of light in here. But it's artificial light. In a sense, you can, it is real light, yeah. But it hasn't got the real source. It's not the natural light. When you grow things in natural light, in artificial light, they don't do as well as they do in the real light. The best systems in the world, there's a deterioration takes place in artificial light. And the world is trying to produce artificial light in a lot of the spiritual side of life. It's trying to give itself some light, but it's not using the real source. And the artificial light that it's getting, it's not really doing it the good that it needs to happen. There's a gradual deterioration taking place because the world's not using the real light source. But God says that if we come to the light, he's going to shine in us, he's going to shine through us. There's an interesting thing. When you look at the definition of light, the New Testament refers to light a number of times. And the root word that it uses, we've taken on board in some of our things. The root word is phos. That's P-H-O-S. Now, I remember when I was at school, we used to, in chemistry, they had this stuff in a jar, and it were like white sticks, and it was always kept in water. And when they took it out into the air and it dried off, it had just burst into flame. It was called phosphorus. Matches, where you strike and light a match, that's got phosphorus at the end. It's a self-phosphorus, the root word phos means self-perpetuating. Self-perpetuating combustion, flame, light, energy. It doesn't need an outside source. It does it itself. And this is who God is. God is a source of light. It doesn't need any outside source. It's the type of light that we need to live, that we need to survive. The interesting thing about the opposite to light, darkness we think of, but when you look in the New Testament, when it talks about darkness, that is skotos. Now, it don't mean anything to us, but when you look at what it actually means, it doesn't so much mean darkness as mean stop. So darkness, when it's talking about darkness, it's talking about things stopping. It talks about life stopping. talks about everything stopping. Darkness is when living stops. But light is when everything starts. Everything flowers up, everything opens up. You look at in spring and that, when we could, something as simple as a lawn. You look at a lawn during the day, and if it's a lawn with daisies in, all the daisies will be out and catching the sun. When it gets to dark, when it starts getting dark, you'll find the daisies close up. A lot of flowers do that at night. We don't tend to notice because we've gone to bed, but the flowers close up, and then the following day when the sun comes out, the light comes out again, they'll open up again and receive the light. So light is very important. It's very important for nature, and it's very important for us. If you look back into the Psalms, Psalm 27, and David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." David knew about light then. When you think about, I mean, Genesis and the books of the Old Testament, they got these in the early church and back before Christ came, they had the Old Testament, or parts of it. And they talked about light then. They got the concept then that God was light, and light was so important. If you turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Now this is important because this is for us. It says, "And this is the message we have heard from him." We've heard the message that Jesus has sent, that Jesus has brought for us. It says, "And announced to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Now, if we take light, we'll change that. We'll say light, we'll put the word life in, and darkness, we'll put the word stop in. It says that God is life, and in him there is no stop. God never stops. God will never stop. He is constantly, consistently looking over us, guarding us, guiding us, and providing us with light. It says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." God wants us to walk in the light. He knows how much we'll enjoy it. The odd occasion, I've been out walking at night, and while it has a certain attraction, I mean, I know how Jonathan's gone out, Luke and Daniel or somebody, and they've gone out when it's dark, and think, "What are you going out at this time for?" But there's a certain novelty about it. But the real enjoyment comes when you walk out in the daylight when it's sun shining. What a difference the sunshine makes to everything that you see. You see everything in, what they say, a completely different light. It somehow comes alive when the sun shines on it. If you went out this last week or two when there were mist and everything else about, you know, it takes the sharpness of everything. And there again, there's a novelty value in seeing it in the mist and that. But I wouldn't want to live in perpetual mist. I wouldn't want to live in half light. And I certainly wouldn't want to live in the darkness all the time. So if we just turn to John chapter 12. This is Jesus talking about his death. In verse 34. It says, "The multitude therefore answered him, 'We have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?' Jesus therefore said to them, 'For a little while longer the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness may not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, in order that you may become sons of light.'" See, how much is he talking about light there? We understand light in the natural. And God wants us to get to grips of light in the spirit as well. So that we can seek out the light. We can look for the light. We can stay in the light. We can live in the light. So the spiritual winters don't come. You know, that film Narnia they were living in death all the time, and Aslan had to die to bring it to life. And it's a reflection. That story is a reflection. Jesus had to die to bring the light, to bring the light to mankind, because we'd gone into darkness. So much of the world is gone back into darkness, living in darkness. So that they try and produce an artificial light to substitute the real light, but there is no substitute. Jesus came, we're celebrating Jesus. He came, and he came for a purpose. He came to restore us back into the light. And who would much rather live in the light than in the darkness? You know, I remember when I was little getting up on Christmas morning. And I'd get up when it was dark. And in the glimmer, the slight glimmer of light, you could look down the bottom of bed. "Mom, he's been! He's been!" And then it was, you know, mad then for half an hour as you looked to the presence and opened the presence. And then gradually the light came. But it's wonderful to live in light. I wouldn't like to live right up in the northern latitudes where it's dark for months on end. I mean, they had the advantage that it's light for months on end in the summer, but it's at a cost of having the darkness in the winter. We've got the natural darkness that comes in at this time of year, which is difficult for a lot of people to deal with. And, you know, we need to help and encourage when we see people that struggle with this time of year. We need to help them. We need to help them and encourage them, because it's a real, real difficult time to get through. When we get through into February, March, and we see the spring coming, that is a real optimistic time then, because you see new life forming. You see a real result of what the light is doing, what the light is capable of doing. We were coming to church today, and Gradnant says, "Oh, and don't it look dirty? Everything looks dirty." And I says, "Yeah, even the verges, the grass verges look dirty and dark." And you come back in another 2-3 months, and all the new grass is coming through. Suddenly you've got a brightness, even on the grass verges. The darkness goes and the new growth pushes through. And God's wanting us to be like that as well. He wants us to be in the light. He wants us to see us, the light pushing through, the new growth, the new life pushing through. I don't suppose we could live in perpetual spring, The thing is, if you have perpetual spring, you'd never get a harvest, so you'd starve. So we have to go through all the seasons. We have to have the problem times and the victory times. But the marvellous thing that God shows us is that light really does give life. And if we can walk in the light that He's given us, we can grasp hold of life. We can grasp hold of a real life. And the difficulties that we face, and we do face difficulties, everybody faces difficulties, if we can grasp hold of that light that Jesus is trying to shine into every one of us, when there's not one of us excluding, no matter how bad or whatever you think you are, God is not saying, I'm not going to shine on that one because they're too bad. God's only looking for vessels that will receive that light. He knows that we've all sinned. He knows we've all come short. He says that, but that does not preclude anyone from reaching up and receiving that light. You know, we're all vessels that God wants to shine into. So I'll leave that with you this afternoon. Just think this Christmas about light. In this dark time of year, it's one of the best things you can think about is light. When you think about darkness, it's not helpful. It don't help. But if you think about light, then it's an encouragement. And we then set our sights on spring and summer and receiving the light, and receiving the light that God's got to shine into us. Amen.
Thank you.